So, I mean, John asked us earlier a question, do we like getting gifts? What was your answer? I was like restringing my guitar at the time. Do you like getting gifts? What's the best gift you ever got? Life? That's a pretty good one. Thank you. Where'd you buy that from these days? Wow, that's one of the good gifts that people have been given. Tesco's. Oh, you can't get it from Tesco's. Yeah, I'll see what you mean. Remote control
car.
A remote control car. Is that a good one? That's a very good gift, yeah. My guitar, I quite like my guitar. That's a very good gift that I've been given. Sorry? Your Bible? Yeah, good gifts. You like getting gifts. What about giving gifts? They say it's better to give than to receive. Is that true? Let's be honest. Huh?
We like
both. Okay. So it's not better to give than to receive. It's better. Yeah. So you like that look? I remember buying Leah a 1,000-watt light bulb for her birthday. Just couldn't wait to see her little face light up. I'm here all week. It's good, isn't it? I suppose the answer to that question, it might depend on what the gift is that you're getting and who the person you're giving the gift to. Yeah? Do you like to give good gifts to people that you love? Yeah? Do you get excited about giving that gift and, you know, that you think, oh, they really like this and stuff? Yeah? You like that? It's like gift vouchers. You know, gift vouchers are all right. I've come to like gift vouchers more and more now, but I used to hate gift vouchers. I didn't see the point in gift vouchers. You take £10 that you could use anywhere in the world and you'd convert it for £10 you could only use in Boots. What's the point? You know, just give me £10. But I suppose more thought goes into it than £10. But then, to be honest, I'd rather get gift vouchers from my mum these days than the jumper she normally sends me. So, yeah, I'm all a bit better. Yeah, I do. I love receiving gifts, obviously. So, you know, please give me gifts. I like it. You can bless me that way. But I do love giving gifts as well. And I know Louise gets really excited about giving gifts. More, you know, on my birthday or Leah's birthday, she gets more excited that it's like my birthday than I do that it's my birthday. And, you know, wakes me up early. Oh, good presents and all this stuff. I'm saying it's not morning yet. Half past five, yes. And, you know, it's all right. It's a good gift. So that's all right. You know, I like receiving presents. Christmas morning is the same. Well, my mum is similar on Christmas morning when we used to live at home. She'd be coming in like at 7 o'clock in the morning, waking us up. He's been. I'm like, who's been? What are you talking about? I'm sleeping here. You go away. And she gets really excited because she loved giving gifts and she'd prefer to give us good gifts and see the joy that it gave to us than she did for receiving gifts. And I suppose it's true. With people that we love to give good gifts. The problem is, you know, when we come to talk about money is such an emotive subject, isn't it? It's so controversial in the world, but also in the church. You know, we're not immune from the problems that money has. Just because we're sanctified doesn't mean that we don't have the same problems or the same, well, money doesn't carry the same problems. Money is still as much as an issue in the church as it is in the world, maybe to a lesser degree, but it's still there. The problem is with money is they say if you have loads of money, you're not happy. Yeah, if you don't have enough money, then you're not happy either. So you just can't win. I suppose it's better to have lots of money and be happy than to have no money and be unhappy, is it? No, I don't know. You know, but you know, you see, money, it gives me happiness and it doesn't give me happiness. What we do with our money, when it's my money, you can't tell me what I should do with my money. You know, these are all things that we hear in the world, but also within the church. How often do we actually talk about the use of money? I mean, if I did a quick poll survey and says, how many sermons have you heard on evangelism or worship or discipleship, mission or pray, all these things? I'm sure you could, you know, say, well, depending on how long you've been in the church, yeah, I've heard loads of those. If I was to ask you how many sermons you've heard on giving and the use of money as well, so not just giving, you've probably heard a few of those, but the rest of it, you know, what do I do with the rest of my money? I'd imagine it'd be quite low. I don't think I've heard one sermon on the use of money. It's interesting, isn't it? It's such a massive part of our life. We all have money, don't we? Some more than others, you know, but we never talk about it in a spiritual sense, how we use it. So for that reason, this week and next week, we're going to look at the subject of money. This week, we're going to look at tithing and giving, and a change to the schedule. Next week, we're going to look at stewardship and what we do with the rest of our money. I hope that's okay with you. If it's not, well, tough, you know, because we're doing it anyway. So let's look into it. Could you bring the old Who's Me Philip on for me, Tony? Yep. No, that's not it. Whoa, easy now. That's not either. That one back. What's going on with the old technology in the world? There you go. Oh, there's sheets as well. It's, I've not given those out, have I? Sorry, I should have said that right at the beginning. There's a little fill in the blanks if you want to do those. We'll just pass them around. Now, the first thing we're looking at this morning, there you go, is what is tithing? What is it? You tell me, as you're getting your sheets and getting your pens. Giving a tenth. Anything else? What is tithing? So we've had giving a tenth. Giving it to the Lord. Giving a tenth of what? Everything you have. So is it just money or everything you have? So I should give, so time and talent, so I should give a tenth of my clothes. No, cut off the bottom of my... I can keep them. Look like they've been given. Thanks, John. So giving, so it's not just about giving of your time and your money. Okay, times, talents, and self, that's good. If you can come up with the self beginning in a T, that'd be very good. I'd like that. Time, talents, and self. Yeah, if you're northern. There you go. The word tithe, does anyone know what that word means, tithe? Tenth, exactly. Yeah, it means tenth. And it's an old English word. I don't know what the, well, I did look at the Hebrew for it, but it's just, I couldn't pronounce it. It's very funny. But again, it's just the word for tenth, and we've translated that as tithe. And all it means is tenth. Where does this practice of tithing start? Can I get one of these notes as well so I know where I'm going? That's right. Have you got, is that there? Have you got another one? Where does it begin? Anybody tell me? In the Old Testament. Excellent. Narrow it down a bit. In the Bible. Somewhere at the back. Genesis. Excellent. Narrow it down a bit. I've got it up there. Sorry?
When he gave instructions after
they'd come out of Egypt. When he gave instructions. Yeah, but that's not Genesis. That's into Deuteronomy. It's Genesis 14. I'm glad to see somebody with some common sense, because it's written on there in the sheet right in front of you. Genesis 14. Do you know this story? If you've got your Bible, you might want to open it up further around it. I'll read this little bit out. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator," not ghost, God, "creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Now, this is the first recorded thing of tithing happening in Scripture. It might have happened before, but as far as we know, it starts with Abraham. Well, who is Melchizedek? Or however you want to say it, Melchizedek. How do you pronounce it, Mike? Melchizedek, thank you. Who is, I prefer Melchizedek. No, I think it's much better. Where's Melchizedek? There you go, you remember that, weren't you? Where's Melchizedek? Who is he? He's a king of Salem, yeah? Who else? He's a priest of who?
God Most High.
God Most High. These are easy questions. Getting on the easy questions. Where else does this character appear in Scripture? Anybody know? Hebrews. Excellent. The majority of Hebrews is talking about this guy who only appears here in Genesis, as far as I'm aware, and is comparing Jesus with this guy, which is interesting. Who? What do you know about priests in the Old Testament? Do you know anything about priests? What? They served God. They were educated, was sort of, yeah? Who were the priests? Excellent. They were the tribe of Levites. You know, the Levites were priests. So where did they come? They became the priests. Where in the Bible does that happen? Genesis.
Exodus.
It happens when they come into the promised land, isn't it? When they enter Canaan, so they've gone out of Egypt, you know, they've wandered through the wilderness for many years. They go into the promised land and God says, you know, the Levites, you were, well, and in the stuff as well, but the Levites, their inheritance, we'll get to that in a minute. So this Most High priest, or priest of the Most High God, is way, 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 way before this tradition of Levite priests. Yeah, so it's an interesting thing. You might think, oh, well, there you go, you know, it's priest of Most High. But it's an interesting thing because it's before this tradition that was established. Yeah? And it's not this, oh, never mind, there you go. Now, so he's a priest. And what does Abraham do? Or Abraham, as he's called at the moment. What does he do to my... Where's my chisel deck? He gave him a tenth of what?
Everything.
What has he got? Where's he got that from?
God.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a bit more specific though. Where, how has God enabled him to get that? By defeating his enemies. He's just, if you look in the chapter of Genesis 16, he just invaded this place. He's got all this plunder and all this stuff. And Abraham says to Melchizedek, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything. You're the priest. You serve God. I'm going to give you a tenth of everything I have. So that's all the plunder, all the property, probably a tenth of the cattle as well. We don't know how it broke down. There's no breakdown of it. He gives a tenth of his stuff to the priest. Right. Let's move on. In the Old Testament, tithing was given to the priests. If we jump forward to Numbers, I think it is. I've got it up there for you. The Lord said to Aaron, you will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. So in the Old Testament, the tithes were given to the Levite priests. If you remember the story, Israel entered the promised land and you've got the 12 tribes and all this stuff, and all the land was divided among them, and what was supposed to happen is the land was supposed to stay with those tribes, and on the year of Jubilee it all goes back, but that never happened. The Levites didn't get anything. They got no land. They got no inheritance. If you have no land in this times, it meant that you couldn't earn any money because, you can't grow any crops. You can't, have any cattle or any stuff like that. The Levite's job was to, as priests, to serve in the temple, to serve in the place of meeting. Well, it wasn't the temple at this time. So God said, well, I'm going to give you the tithe, the tenth that everyone brings, for your work that you do in the tent of meeting, the place that you do there. So that it was their inheritances, the way they earned their living. But they also used that money wisely and would bless other people where they saw need. Does that make sense to you? So the Old Testament tradition of tithing was giving 10%, a tenth, to the priest, to the Levites. And this it was written into the law, basically. This is what you had to do. How does that change in the New Testament? Or does it change in the New Testament? No change? So still giving it to the Levites? Yeah? There's a difference now. What's the difference?
The difference now we give to God.
Okay. Well, no, because in the Old Testament, you were still giving it to God, and God was giving it to the Levites. God says, I'm giving you the tithes. So you still gave it to God, and God says, this is where it goes. Does that make sense? I mean, that's a bit... It depends on your yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Is there any difference in New Testament giving or New Testament tithing? Not really. But there are a few slight changes. In the New Testament, tithing was given to the priests and to the needy more so than was given in the Old Testament. Let's look at what Jesus says. So when you give, let me read it from here, to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Tithing was still given to the priests. It was still brought into the temple, but it was also given out to the needy as well. This is what Jesus is adding to this law of tithing. The thing that we need to remember is by now in the thing, the priests were not Levites anymore. That tradition of just the Levites being the priests and having the tithes because they had no land had long since died out. Now, the high priest was the person who paid the most price for it, because actually it was a very profitable position to be in, because you get a tenth of everything that people were coming in through the Old Testament tradition. So now the people who are serving as priests had their own land, they had their own place, they still were earning money and stuff from elsewhere. So the whole reason why God said, I'm going to give the Levites my share, which was because they had no land as an inheritance, no longer is there, because the Levites are no longer the priests. Everyone's still, anybody can be a priest now, and really in the tradition. And they get money from elsewhere. Does that make sense? Yeah, are you sure? on that. I think that's quite a big thing that we need to understand. Because what God does in the Old Testament is he says, because you're serving me in this place and you have no other inheritance, I'm going to give you the tithes. But, you know, now they have an inheritance, all that tradition is gone because Israel never followed what God did in the first place. It goes and Jesus institutes a new thing. So that is what tithing is. Makes sense? Say yes, Chris. Otherwise, we'll be here all day. Why should I tithe? Why should I tithe? The church needs it. Yeah, I mean, lots of people need it, though. We wouldn't have a church. Okay. So everything we've been given comes from God, so we need to give some of it back. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, there's a practical need, as Phyllis is saying.
Support the work of the church.
Support the work of the church. Yeah, anything else? Okay, according to the law we're supposed to give. Yeah. So that we can be happy. Everything is God's anyway. Yeah, okay. Any other one? There's another quite a big one, which we've not said. You were close on it, touched on it. Well, it's in the Bible, yeah. It's even stronger than that. You will be blessed, yeah, it's a great thing. But there's an even stronger reason. Do you remember last week we talked about fasting and the number one reason why we should fast? Jesus told us to. Jesus says we are to give. You know, that's the number one reason to give. But let's look at this. Why should I tithe? We're under grace, not law. So, Janiyah, you know, it says in the law, but we're no longer under the law. The law is gone. We're under grace. The law is gone, isn't it?
Yes.
The Old Testament law as it stands has gone. We are under grace. Does that mean I don't have to tithe? If it's law, and it was part of the law, and you know, we're no longer under that law, we're under the grace. Read Hebrews again. You tithe because you want to. Okay. Sorry?
Because we delight
in it. So we need to get out of this legalistic thing and think, actually, there's something in this. You know, because we are under grace and not law, we have been blessed. We have received more from God because we are under grace and not by law. Therefore, we should give more. Does that make sense to you? Because we've received more from God, our response should be, well, maybe I should give more. I don't think we should practice tithing in this sense, not legalistic tithing, but sacrificial giving. That's what the New Testament says. You won't find that word tithe in the New Testament. Jesus doesn't mention it. It becomes this giving. What Jesus talks about is sacrificial giving. And it does talk about giving of time. It does talk about giving of talents and possessions. But it also talks about of giving money. Sometimes in my life, I've sort of tried to cancel out the giving of money. Well, I give of my time and I give of my abilities and other things. So therefore, I don't need to give of my money. Well, it doesn't work that way. Yeah, I'm to give of my time, I'm to give of my talents and my possessions. But I'm also to give of my money. Just because I give three of the others doesn't mean that I'm not to give of my money. Because it's not my money anyway, is it? As people have said. All of it is God's. So what I want to talk about is not tithing. Not this legalistic, you must give a tenth and it must go to this place and it must do that. What I want to talk about is sacrificial giving. Because through sacrificial giving, we are blessed and God is blessed and the people that God prompts us to give to are blessed. Let's also remember, we should do this because Jesus told us to. Again, I could say there should be no debate on this. We shouldn't even need to discuss this because Jesus says do it. But I think maybe we do need to go into it a little bit more. So, that's why I should tithe. How then do I tithe? How do I tithe? Let's look at this passage from 2 Corinthians. Each man should give what he has deciding in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before. What does that tell you about giving or tithing? How are you to tithe? Huh? Happily? Yeah? Glad? Anything else? Secretly, yeah, so you don't, it's not proclaimed. Janiyah? Exactly the same. Whoa, spooky, you're in tune. The word there, God loves a cheerful giver, the actual word, you know, that's not a great translation of the word there. Hilariously, that's what it says. You know, the real word there, God loves an hilarious giver. What does that tell you about the way we're to give? So it's not tearful. That's not the right word. It's hilarious. What does that tell you? Okay, so much that it looks silly. Yeah, ridiculously. Yeah, well, in the world sense, it might be foolishly. We are to give hilariously. If to give hilariously means in the attitude that you give, that this, you know, it is cheerful, it's joyous. Do you like it when you're having a hilarious moment? It's great, isn't it? I love having a hilarious moment where you're filled with joy and something is great. That is how we are to give, not under compulsion, not under regret or remorse or, you know, oh, I've got to do this, but hilariously in their attitude. But also, that tells us about how much we are to give, hilariously. In the world's eyes, it's foolishness. You know what? Well, my brother and some parts of my family can't understand this whole concept of giving quite a substantial part of your salary to the church or to God. Think, well, what's, you know, you've earned hard for that. That's foolish. Don't do that. Don't work hard so you give your money away. Give a little bit away every now and again, you know, children in need and comic relief. You phone up, give a tenner or something like that. And that's it. That's doing your bit. But don't give loads. Well, that's not what God says. I want you to give hilariously. Do you remember that reading that John just gave from Malachi? What did that say? You know, what was God saying in that reading from Malachi? We're robbing God at the beginning because not giving tithes. What did God say would happen if you give tithes? I will bless, like you can't imagine. Yeah. Test me on this, God says. Test me on this. If you honour me in this way, I will open up the storehouse, the floodgates, and I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you like you couldn't possibly imagine. Yeah. We're to give hilariously. Somebody has often said to me, you can't outgive God. Have you heard that expression? You can't outgive God. That the more you give, the more God blesses you. Now, I'm not just talking about financial blessing. I'm not saying, you know, if you give £10, God will bless you by giving you £100. It doesn't work that way at all. Although sometimes it does. Sometimes when we've given out of, you know, financial need, when we've been in financial need but still felt that we've needed to give, God has blessed us financially and given us back more than we've given. So, you know, the interest rate in the bank of God is a pretty good thing. You know, it's a good investment. But that's not the reason why we do it, you know. We're blessed in other ways. You know, just with life and family and friends, the ability to get by. The one thing I'm amazed by is that how, you know, so sometimes money seems to stretch. Do you know that expression? Have you come across that? You have this much and you have this much that needs to go out, but somehow this much stretches. It's not that you've been given any more, but somehow it stretches. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. We've experienced that many times, you know, in life when things have happened or we didn't get paid in ministry or stuff like that. And God has blessed us through that giving. You cannot outgive God. I thoroughly believe that. The more you give to God, the more he will bless you. And I think the better we use our money, and we'll talk about this next week, the more God will bless us with that financially as well. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not turned into an American guy with a white suit and saying, you know, send me your seed offering, you know, just give me a check for £20 and God will bless you. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel at all. I'm talking about God blessing us through obedience. Sometimes that's in finance. Sometimes that is in health. Sometimes that is in relationships or friendships. Sometimes that is in strength or the ability to keep going. When we are obedient to God, he blesses us. And giving is an area of our lives and where we need to show obedience to God. Where should we give? We are to give to the work of the gospel. That is the only clause. The Levites received the tithe because for the work they did in the tent of meeting, because they served God. We are to give to the work of the gospel. What is the work of the gospel? Okay, so evangelism is the work of the gospel. What else? Helping the poor is the work of the gospel. Yep, what else? A little thing, you know, if you remember the five purposes, that pretty much sums up the work of the gospel. Yep, so the evangelism part. Did anybody remember the five purposes? Where's Diane when you need her? She remembers them all the time. Discipleship, that's the work of the gospel. Ministry, fellowship, Evangelism, worship, these are the work of the gospel. Just, you know, it's not just, yeah, the work of the gospel is, you know, spreading God's light, spreading God's love within the church and beyond. Bringing peace, bringing joy, bringing life. So that's working with the poor, working with the sick, working with the homeless, working with non-Christians, working with Christians. That is the work of the gospel. It's pretty broad, isn't it? Now, you could say, well, if we're really honest, how much of that work of the gospel goes on within the church? The reason why we have such organisations as BMS, Vis-a-Vis, Tear Fund, is basically because the church in years gone by have not done their job, have not done mission, have not done evangelism, have not served the needy, have not looked after the poor. So other people have needed to go and do that, and that's why they exist. That is the work of the gospel. If you were to say to me that 100% of your tithe has to go to the church, well, I would say, no. 100% of your tithe has to go to the work of the gospel, wherever God prompts you. Yeah, I'm giving that, I'll put that one up. Does that make sense? That is the church. The church is the work of the gospel, but Tear Fund is still the work of the gospel. BMS is the work of the gospel. Vis-a-vis is the work of the gospel. Where the gospel is worked out, we are to give. And I would say, though, that if you are a member of a church fellowship, you should give at least part of your tithe to that church that you're a member of, because that shows your commitment and your dedication, your belonging to that family that God has called you to. That's part of your tithe. But I wouldn't be legalistic in saying only tithes can go to the church. You know, I've spent many a year working in non-church or parachurch organisations, and because of the people's tithing to us, we've been able to do what we've done. Without that, we wouldn't have been able to serve people and see loads of people become Christians and stuff like that, because people tithe to us in a non-church setting. You could then have a debate about what is church and is a parachurch organisation church and all that stuff, but we won't go into that. Does that make sense? So we are to give hilariously, and we are to give to the work of the gospel. And let's remember that what this is about is giving. When you gave a present to the last person you gave a present to, you know, did you give them the present and then tell them how to use the present? You might have given them instructions, this is how you do it, you know, so if it's, you know, a special cooking thing, this is how you get the most out of it. But did you say, you know, if you gave a frying pan, did you say, you can only use this Tefal non-stick fire pan for cooking eggs? You can't use it for cooking sausages. Did you say that? Would you say that? No. It's not a gift, is it? You don't do that. When you give something, you give it to them. It's their responsibility. It's the same with this. When we give, if you give money to the church, or you give money to Tear Fund or BMS, what you're doing is you're giving it to God. You give the money to God. And you don't say, okay, you can only use this for this and you can only use it for that. The only clause you can put on it is for the work of the gospel. That's the only clause. Because it's a gift to God. These people who receive those gifts, those tithes, who God chooses to bless in that way, are accountable to God, stand before God for how they use that money. So we as a church family are accountable for God for how we use the money that he gives us. Whether we've given it or not, it's irrelevant. Does that make sense? So just because the money that we have as a church has come from us, doesn't mean, well, it still means that we're accountable to God for how we use it, because it's not our money anyway, it's God's. Does that make sense? I mean, that is a bit, you know, are you with me on that? Yeah, some of you answer me to say, I'm just going to say that, Chris, just to move on, you know, because dinner time is coming. We're coming to an end then. Three steps to giving. How do I give? Three things. Firstly, prayerfully choose an amount. Prayerfully choose an amount. 10% is a good number. It doesn't have to be 10%. It could be 5%. It could be 20%. Prayerfully choose an amount and set that amount aside at the beginning of the month. Whenever you get your wages or your pension or your work from your fields or whatever it is that comes in, whatever it is that you have, whenever that comes in, have prayerfully considered what percentage of that am I going to give and set it apart. I highly recommend setting up a separate bank account and using these wonderful things called standing order. So as soon as your stuff comes into your account, you know that you've got the standing order that will send your tithe, your giving, whatever else, into another account, so it's separate. We do that and it's extremely helpful. Now that might not be helpful for you, but that's a recommendation. But prayerfully consider an amount. This is why the practice of tithing this tenth was a good thing, because it's, you thought about it. You actually work it out, you know, what is it that I want to give? I wouldn't be legalistic in this, but prayerfully consider and set that amount aside. And probably do it before tax as well. Secondly, prayerfully consider where God wants you to give. Where is it, Lord, that you want me to give? What am I passionate about? What do I feel prompted about? Where do I see a need for the work of your gospel that I feel you're prompting me to? Now, as I've said, if you're a church member, then a proportion of that will be to the church. 100% of that tithe may be to the church, if that's what God is saying to you. I'm not saying you can't do that. But you may think, you know, God may have prompted on your heart something else. We have to listen to God on this. Pray to God. If you're married, consult your other partner on that, because it's their money as well. You know, you've got to talk together. Yeah, we've got to do, does that make sense? But prayerfully consider where God wants you to give it. It's his money, it's not your money, and he will give it wherever he wants. But he's chosen to use you to give his money to these places, so you've got to prayerfully consider that. Does that make sense? Yeah? And the final thing is bless and be blessed. Bless. I love giving good gifts. I love giving gifts to the people I love. I love God. Therefore, I love giving to God. Bless. Be blessed by God. Allow God to use you as a source of blessing to people, individuals, ministries that are going on. Enjoy that. It's all right. You know, we can have some fun in the church. Whatever people have said to you. You like to laugh. You like to smile. You like to be hilarious in the church. Bless people by the money that God has entrusted to you. It's his anyway. Bless them with it. And then allow God to bless you. As you are obedient to him, as you serve him, as you do what he calls of you, allow him to bless you. It's great. Giving is a good thing to do. It's good for us. It's good, shows our obedience. It blesses other people. And through it, God speaks to us and changes our lives. The number one thing we need to get into our head, and this is the hardest thing I think it is to comprehend, and we'll talk about it a bit more next week, is that everything I have is not mine anyway. It's God. Even though I've earned it, and some people will work harder for their money than others, you know, but even though you've earned it and spent a hard time grafting for it, still doesn't mean it's yours. It's still God's, and he's entrusted it to your care. Doesn't mean that you just got to give 10% away and you can do what you like with the other 90%. You know, that's not how it works. We'll talk about the other 90% or whatever next week. But everything I have, my time, my possessions, my money, my talents, are God's. And he's entrusted them to my care, to use them for his glory. Somebody once said to me that the last part of the Christian to get converted was their wallet. I think that's quite true. Don't know why, because it's a source of blessing to other people and to our own lives. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your love that you have for each one of us. We thank you for those many gifts that you give to us. And we thank you that we are able to give of those things back to you for your glory, for the work of your gospel. Father, I pray for each one of us that you would speak to us and maybe challenge us if we need challenging on this area of giving. Help us to prayerfully consider how much it is of your money that we want to give. Father, help us to prayerfully consider where we are to give that to aid your kingdom, to aid the work of your gospel. And Father, help us to bless other people and be blessed as we work in this area of obedience for you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.